What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a very special edition of the Nine Circles Audio Thing. It's not really a podcast anymore, so that's what we're going to call it. It's the Nine Circles Audio Thing. I'm your host, Dan Kaplan, and I am here with an awesome, awesome chat I had recently with Enrique and Steve from the band Crypt Sermon. You folks out there are probably familiar with Crypt Sermon by now. Philly, like just classic sounding, like epic doom band. Really awesome debut a couple years ago, Out of the Garden, made a lot of waves, and they are a terrific live act as well. And I caught up with the two of them just as, you know, they were getting ready to, you know, Enrique's going over this week and the rest of the band a little bit later on to play at Hellfest over in France. So we talked about, you know, just how they sort of found themselves in the doom genre, despite not really, you know, anyone in the band coming from a doom background. And we talked about, you know, the Decibel Fest. The band recently played that down in Philly, the Decibel Beer and Metal Festival, all kinds of stuff. It was a cool chat. Really, really awesome of them to, you know, give me about 45 minutes of their time. So I'm super stoked to bring it to you. Without any further ado, here it is, my chat with Enrique and Steve from Crypt Sermon. Well, I mean, that was one thing I you know, because I know the big story when you guys first, you know, we're coming out with Out of the Garden a couple years ago. It was talking about how, like, none of you guys before this had really done much doom before, or any doom before. You all sort of had like different metal interests. Has it gotten any easier? The genre sort of, if you sort of, you're warmed to the genre, I guess.
I mean, yes and no. I think we definitely we're definitely more comfortable playing together in this style, and just becoming better songwriters. But there's also I'll speak for myself. I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself when I'm writing newer material. I have this stupid habit of always trying to one up the last thing I did rather than just writing a fucking song. But I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I'd say it's gotten easier. I feel, I actually really enjoy playing stuff that's a little more open, where you can just rock out a little bit more. It's just a little more dynamic. It's tricky when you're playing slower, when you're learning to play slow, because I think the common mistake is that, like, oh, faster is harder, fast, you know, that's not necessarily true, especially when you're in the context of a song, because when you're playing live, fast stuff live, it kind of just, it's in a blur. But when the slow stuff, it's just much more nuanced focused, so if you fuck up, it's clear as day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned a lot of the thrash stuff. Was it you and Brooks that were also in Trench Rot or are also in Trench Rot? I'm not sure like how the side projects are all
right
factoring in at this point.
Yeah, we are both in Trench Rot. Trench Rot's currently not active. We just haven't had time for it. Moved away to Michigan. He did the project I was talking about previously, Black Thrash thing, right before he moved out there. Yeah, it's just sort of, we did an album where, you know, we just wanted to get it out of our system, and we felt that was good enough. We didn't need to do a whole lot with it. So
yeah, well, now and you know, like other it's hard to call it a side project at this point, but I know Matt from Horrendous is or was your guys bass players. Is that like a full-time thing? Is he doing both? Or
yeah, he's in the band full-time.
How's he juggling that? I mean, that's got to be, because, you know, because both of those are, I mean, both you guys are really, you know, really, really taking off, making names lately. So
well, he finds a balance. He's really dedicated. I mean, the thing about us is we don't tour heavily or do any touring at all. Whereas Horrendous is able to do a little bit more of that. We're a little bit more restricted in our schedule. So, I mean, we play really, I was just thinking about it. We only play like a handful of shows a year. So we can find the time to rehearse. It's not so squished together. Mm-hmm. Right now we're working on heavily on working on writing the new album. So there's a, yeah, I mean, we make it work. Our schedule's not, I don't like to think of it nearly as intense as Horrendous is. But I mean, even Horrendous before going on that Decibel tour weren't playing that many shows. So we, you know, we find the time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, I mean, I want to save. I had a lot of questions that I wanted to pose to both you and Enrique, so I'll save some of those for if and when he pops in. But sure. I mean, like generally speaking, like the big thing that sort of popped into my head. You know, obviously he does a PR for Season of Mist. do you ever give him a little push and be like, hey, so. Guys, have any roster spots opening up? Do you want to get us on there? Anything you can do? No. Or is he pretty? He's pretty good about the conflicts of interest.
Not ever. Even in the event that Season of Mist wanted to sign us, it would just. I feel like it would hurt our credibility. It just sort of. I don't know. It just looks like a very hacky sort of hack move to get on the label that your drummer's working on.
Sure.
Work that. And yeah, sure, there's a conflict of interest. We just wanted, you know, the thought never even crossed any of our minds, not even for a second.
I was about 75% joking there. So yeah. I mean, plus you guys are on a great label as is. I mean, you know, Matt and Dark Descent. I mean, like they know their stuff. You know.
Yeah. I love Dark Descent is an awesome label. They've been great to us. And one thing I love about being on Dark Descent, other than, you know, Matt takes good care of us. He's responsive and he's very fair. One of the things I love also is that we're sort of the oddball band on the label, or one of them, because it's, as you know, it's mostly like very dark death metal.
Yeah.
And, I kind of like being on a very good label that sort of bases itself in a different style. It just sort of helps us pop out of the fog a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where if we signed to some, I don't know, heavy metal label, we would just sort of get lost in the fog, I think.
Right.
I could be wrong, but that's just the way I see it. I like being kind of the oddball band out.
Well, and that's one of the things I always like about, you know, like a Profound Lore, for example. You know, they do this dark, just unbelievably heavy shit, and then they'll release a record by like Dalek or like Softkill or something like that, and it just helps those bands sort of stick out that much more. And you know, it's almost like a sign of the quality. When right. You know, you can work your way through a label that doesn't normally do necessarily your type of music, but is all about it and, you know, willing to support it and stuff like that, put it out.
Actually, Enrique just sent me a text message. He's outside. I will be right back.
Perfect. All right.
Hey,
what's up?
Not much. Enrique's here. He's apparently pooped his pants.
Oh, but, man. Stressful time on the road, huh?
Yeah. He does, in his defense, he does get the weirdest Uber drivers ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, like, pretty much very consistently. I don't know how he manages, but he does.
Today, his name was Lowman.
Lowman was his name? Was it Lowman or Lowman? Yeah.
I actually it's funny. I had one my last night of MDF. I lucked out with pretty cool Lyft drivers, and then all of a sudden the last night coming home from Candlemass on Sunday, I had one that like took me on this like roundabout journey through Northwest Baltimore, like left turns, right turns, like nobody had any idea where she was going, and she's just like, oh yeah, I guess I'm not the best at navigating. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I guess not. I think she just wanted an extra, you know, extra large fare, but you know, it is what it is.
The only time I ever got like a straight up weird ass Uber driver was on the way home from a night at MDF. I got this like weirdo, like very sketchy racist Uber driver.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know if he saw like a big, bald, like white dude, you know, shaved head, and he just assumed like, you know, we were boys or something, because right. he just started going off. And I was like, yeah, I just, yeah. it was the most awkward 10 minutes of my life.
Oh my gosh, I bet.
Well, I like your setup. You have a nice.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing the podcast stuff much more regularly, so I figured I might as well get some decent equipment going on. But
you got a candle?
Yeah.
Oh shit. That's a pretty cool setup in and of itself.
Well, it's about to get so much better.
Nigel. Where you lights yourself on fire with a candle. Alright, sorry, bear with us. I'm trying to get this situated so that you can see who you're talking to here.
No, dude, take your time. That's fine.
This is our bass player.
Oh.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah, he is a sweet little pain in the ass, but he is.
Yeah. All right, there's a candle. Can you see us at all?
I can see, yeah, if you tilt it up a little bit, I could see it, but I mean, I can hear you both. So that's fun.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. We get that angle where like you can see every roll
about,
on my
about
face.
I go like this.
There you go. Model pose. That's the way to do it. There we go. Well, hey, I mean, you know, I was just going on about MDF. Enrique, obviously we ran into each other down there briefly Sunday. Like what were your thoughts? I mean, I know you're only down the one day. Any highlights for you?
I'll talk about the positives.
Okay.
I'll give you the politician's answer.
Okay.
Honestly, the highlight for me, the surprise for me was In the Woods and how good that band was live.
Mm-hmm.
What is that vocalist's name? Do you know?
Not offhand. I'm gonna bring up Metal Archives right now, though. while we're on Metal
yeah, yeah.
Archives.
Whatever that guy is, man. His recorded clean vocals are decent on the record,
mm-hmm.
but live he had that perfect like live mix, so everything sounded amazing, and his screaming. Capabilities were just about the best I've ever heard live from any band.
Yeah.
Like I've never heard someone do death metal, black metal-y kind of vocals that good. And I've never heard that kind of vocal delivery mixed live so incredibly well.
Yeah.
Now for the non-politician answer, the non-politician part of this, I thought that band was creating magic on stage until this one moment in the set. I believe it was probably like the penultimate song. The drummer, I think his name's Cobro. Cobro.
Mm-hmm.
He did this like fantastic fill, just like this ridiculous, like, brrr, you know, kind of fill. And he's doing a four count to go into the next song with one hand. And with the other hand, he gripped his vape pen and took a puff and just blew this smoke. And I got taken out of the moment so hard. and Steve and I have talked about this.
I received a message immediately after this happened.
and you know, it's funny because it's just like, I don't care if people do that. I think it's totally fine. Like Steve and I talked about it too. Like, you know, if you're doing that to quit and smoking or something like that, good for you, man. You know,
yeah,
all that stuff. But man, just seeing him do it live, it looked to me, it was like a guy trying to do his own pyro. Like it just seemed like he was trying to be his own fog machine or something. No, but I mean, that little funny part aside, I thought that band was actually really great. The Hexen was really good too. I had high expectations for that band. They're actually great. I wish they'd been mixed a little bit better, but you know, when it comes to that murky black metal kind of stuff, sometimes it just comes across a little differently, live. But I thought they were actually pretty great. I wish they had played Rituals of Flesh and Blood, because that's my favorite Hexen song, but, you can't win them all.
Yeah,
man. All in all, it was actually a pretty good experience just for the short time I was there. You know, it was weird because a lot of people on the internet were complaining about what MDF was going to be like this year and how the lineup was lame and stuff. But I got to say, like, after the fest, this was absolutely the least amount of complaining I ever read on social media afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I did not hear any sort of negative feedback, which is great for them, you know. Just a couple of people going like, oh man, I wish we had the outdoor stage, whatever, but nothing really beyond that. And I think anyone who had an issue with the lineup, like, they either just, you know, didn't show up or they ended up going anyway and had a blast. So. Yeah.
Well, that was one thing I was worried about was, you know, like, I remember last year when Dragged Into Sunlight played at Ramshead and it was so crowded you could barely draw breath. And I was like, when they took away the outside portion, I was like, shit, it's gonna be like that every band all day, you know. and it wasn't at all, you know. It was crowded, but you could move around, you could get out early if you needed to. I liked that you only had the two venues that were close by to each other, so if there was overlap you could get from point A to point B without having you could be able to catch both bands if you needed to. So
yeah,
I liked it. I'm stoked on it. I'm stoked for next year. See what they get. So
yeah, I mean, there's always talk about them adding some sort of secret band or something like that. And there's already rumors about what's going to happen next year, you know. And I hope the one thing I kept hearing about was how they were going to take I believe there's like a tiny, I say that in quotes, outdoor stage, like near where the vendors were, like a little mm-hmm. bit further back of that area.
Yeah.
And they're, I think they're trying to get like two special bands to play out there next year. So, well, you know, who knows? That might just be a rumor, but it might be great. The only like for real negative thing I heard was a couple of the vendors told me that during the day for Friday and Saturday, not Sunday, just those first 2 days while they were outside vending, you know how all the bars nearby kind of are also nightclubs?
Yeah.
So they felt like they were just getting bombarded with like techno music. Like,
yeah.
apparently it was really loud. So when I got there on Sunday, I didn't hear that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, there was also a guy, I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday, but there was a guy, this like really just square looking bald, like mid 40s white dude that was trying to play acoustic Prince covers. And I was just like, no, just why? Why are you there? but yeah, you know, for the most part, it wasn't too bad. I switching gear, you know, while we're talking about fests, I mean, you know, I know we started talking about like getting this together right before you guys did the Decibel Fest, and I was like crazy busy. I unfortunately couldn't make it happen, but, I just wanted to know, how'd that go for you guys? How was the experience overall? You know, like tell me more about it.
It was awesome. I mean, it was well run. I felt like we played a really good set. We were the opening band, so it wasn't like it was completely packed in there, but we expected that anyways. But overall, I thought we had a good performance. The festival itself, like the beer aspect of it was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was like one of the most fun fests I think I'd ever been to, actually. It just, everybody was in a great mood. The way that it was laid out, all the beer vendors and stuff like that, it was spread out in a way like nobody was on top of each other. Like, I wasn't sure how logistically it was going to work, but it was really awesome. It was smooth.
It was down at the Fillmore, right?
Yeah, it was a really cool environment. It was a very positive environment. Like, the asshole quotient at the fest was very low, which is a good thing. Nice.
That's always good.
That's what I meant by everybody was in a good mood. Like, everybody just. Yeah, like nobody was just being a miserable fucking drunk asshole.
And the other thing too is because the Fillmore is like this multi-level huge venue, mm-hmm. you know, you could go to a different part of the venue and it was a different kind of vibe. You know what I mean? If you wanted to be around a lot of people, you could either be in the floor space or like outside where the vendors are. Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to kind of just be hanging out with your friends, you could go to like the sides of the like the balconies on the sides on the top floor. Uh-huh. And kind of be with your crew there, and you know, there are vendors all around. Like, the beer vendors were all around the top and bottom floors. Nice. So you know, it was a good time. I think it also helped that Steve and I had a couple friendships, you know, like internet friendships that we finally got around to meet and talk to, and you know, that's always a positive experience. So
definitely.
And also, not for nothing, I firmly believe that the Fillmore is Philadelphia's best sounding live venue.
Oh wow.
I think the first time I had ever gone there was when King Diamond did his show there to film some sort of DVD or something like that.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Yeah. And everyone there was super pro. So
now did they, I mean, was there anything up in the, cause I know they have the foundry upstairs. Did it cross over into that, or was it all on the main room?
David Stain did that VIP thing there.
Yeah, so the upstairs, that smaller venue, the Foundry, that's where Dave Mustaine had his meet and greet.
Okay.
So from what I understand, it was like, I think my coworker did this. You bought a ticket, you went into that room, and it was like you and a couple other people there. And then, what's his beer company
name? Unibrew.
Yeah, Unibrew was there. They gave kind of like a presentation about the beer, and then they brought him out to talk about it, and I don't know if there was a Q&A. Was there? There might have been a Q&A, and then they got to meet him, get something signed, take a picture, that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So that's space for. I'm really curious to see where Albert takes that fest next year in terms of like a musical direction. Because I know he, you know, I think it's pretty clear they're going to use the same venue and all that stuff. So, you know, when you have a venue that size to that scale, I think the possibilities for a good lineup are kind of endless, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it seemed like it was just a really diverse group this year too. I mean, you had you guys, and then there was like A&B was on there, and I mean, didn't like Immolation play too, stuff like that, you know? It's like all over the map.
Yeah. And Panopticon and
yeah.
You know, and the other incredibly surreal thing for us was that, and this comes from a guy who is not a huge Megadeth fan, sitting in a room with someone who is a Megadeth fan, that being Steve, like just walking around and seeing Dave walk around and just interact with people. And, you know, I think as soon as we finished our set, we left the backstage area to go into the main floor. And when I opened the door in between both, you know, sides, the first person we saw was Dave, just like right there in front of the door. I almost hit him. Of course we opened the door, but he was just right there, and, you know,
yeah, he said what's up to us, and I probably gave him, like, the dorkiest, like, weaselly, oh, hi, like, kind of ever. Like, that was just, yeah, it was cool. He apparently dug our set.
Awesome. Set.
Yeah, so that's
a really cool stamp of approval.
It was incredible because, you know, you see him, and then I think, I don't know where you were, but I went upstairs to go talk to, like, the Hammerheart Brewing guys, and, 10 minutes later, I see this picture on like Instagram or Facebook or something, and it's Dave with our guitar player James and Arthur, who recorded our record.
Uh-huh.
And it's a picture of the three of them hanging out. He called Arthur Art.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, does art work for you? The best part about this, too, I mean, to cut you off, was like, you know, yeah, I was admittedly like, oh, yeah, it's Dave Mustaine, and we go out, and then 5 minutes later, I look at my phone, and it's a text message from James, the other Crimson guitar. I just smoked pot with Dave Mustaine.
He seems like, I feel like, you know, he's got this persona where he's like kind of an asshole, but I feel like he must just like an audience. Like, cause I've heard, you know, like you guys, James and everyone running into him, and like other folks that have, that I know that have like met him over the years, they say he's like pretty chill in person. It's just like, yeah. you get him up on stage and he has to show off a little bit, you know?
James told me that he had said something to the effect, like when they were hanging out, he had said something to the effect of like, people think I'm not approachable or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there's a level to which the meme is self-aware. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. In Dave's defense though, I'm sure he gets like punished by like the craziest walks of life. And he's got such a presence that, you know, you kind of,
yeah,
I guess you have no choice but to be an asshole to somebody at some point who's just getting on your fucking nerves.
Throw up the hand.
Sure. Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. I had actually just this year, I was down a couple days ago when I was at MDF. I had a similar kind of thing with Russ from Immolation. He was like wandering around, and you know, I've been a big Ammo fan for a long time, and I just see him. I'm like, wait, I think that's him. I think that's him. But he's always like talking to other folks, other, you know, guys in other bands. I didn't want to like interrupt. And then the last day of the festival rolls around, I just went up. I was like, are you Ross from Immolation? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I really loved your new album, blah, 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 blah. I'd like try not to gush too hard. And same thing, like nice dude, really, really chill. Like, thank me for coming up and everything.
People that are super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good. It's always good when they're down to earth like that.
We played with another band that up in Worcester, Mass, that he plays in, and like after we got off, I forget what it was. It was like a very like quick exchange, but he was like super. Like I just remember this distinctly because he was like super nice, just like so nice to the point where I remembered it. It wasn't like he's a nice guy. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little hungover, so.
No. But yeah, I got the same vibe. He was like, he was like, dude, thanks so much for coming up. I really appreciate that. Hope you had a great fest. You know, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't just like the cursory, like, oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
So, well, Enrique, I kind of talked to Steve about this before you got here, but you know, the big thing, you know, obviously Steve mentioned you guys are in the process of like working on the new album, stuff like that. I remember like one of the biggest like plot points, I guess you would call it, or one of the big things that people talked about was how, you know, when the last album came out, it was like none of you guys were really like had a strong background in Doom. And so like talking to Steve about it, you know, just seeing how the process has gotten easier for him, like how has everything changed, you know, for you? Is it, you know, starting to come more naturally to you? Like, is it you starting to feel like more at home in the genre?
Well, I'll be the first to say that I don't think I'm a good drummer. So to that end, I will say that playing Doom metal taught me a few things. The first thing is how to hit harder. Cause now I have, less time in between, actually more time in between hits to hit a little harder. So that's nice. and the other thing too with this, and I think maybe, I don't know if you'll agree with me, but when it comes to how we play the music that we do play, I don't think we, try to approach it necessarily strictly as doom metal musicians. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's, we're writing doom songs, but that are like bit grounded in doom, but it's a little more, we try to bring a little bit more of our own personalities into it as we're, you know, moving forward with the writing material, the new material.
Right.
Out of the Garden is just sort of like, you know, it's us feeling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like sort of more, I don't want to say doom by numbers, but I guess that's, for the sake of brevity, that's how I'll describe it.
I mean, not only that, like not only the genre, but like we're also trying to feel out how it is to play to each other, because none of us have been in a band together except for Steve and Brooks, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a certain point of like, there's a certain kind of unfamiliarity with it. And going back to what I was saying earlier too, like when it comes to playing drums on the new stuff, and maybe you feel the same way about the guitar playing too, but like I don't want to get comfortable with the idea of playing doom drums. Like I want to try and keep it interesting for me, because I don't want our music to just be doom metal for people who like doom metal, you know?
Right.
I definitely wanted to go beyond that, because it should, if it's good, you know, then maybe it does have a little bit of everything for everybody. You know, I mean, that's why we try to experiment with a few things, like that Mayhem cover that we did.
Right.
You know, try to, how do we make this interesting without it just being about slowing the riffs down? You know, mm-hmm. That's kind of been also like the thesis statement from the band. You know, I think.
Yeah, I think the band in general got together. The band was pretty much an experiment, because none of us are like, I mean, we all kind of dabble with everything. We're not like, it's like, I'm the thrash guy or I'm the black metal guy. Like, we all, you know, we like everything. The thing is, I don't think any of us really listened to like a ton of doom. So we just thought it'd be a cool idea to try our hand at it.
Mm-hmm.
A doom band that we would like to hear that was a little more, you know, song based rather than just riff based and how loud can you play?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean that whole scene got so tired here, you know, and that's not to say anything negative about other bands specifically, but like, you know, you get so many bands coming through town and it just kind of sounds like the same band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just want something about it to be really interesting, you know?
Yeah.
So you look at that and you look at what they're doing and what you don't like about it, and then you play to what you believe the strengths of it are, and I think that's what makes, you know, compelling music. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I get, obviously, you know, like they're not quite the same thing as you musically, but I get the same kind of feel from your recent tour mates from Chemist. You know, when I saw you up in it wasn't like a full tour. I think you guys, it was just a couple shows. But you know, I saw you back in January at Vitus, and I get the same kind of thing from them. Like they're not quite like the, it's not quite as epic as you guys per se, but it definitely seems like they're not just trying to do, as you put it, like doom for doom fans. There's a little something different there.
Yeah, that's true. They totally have their own thing going on.
Yeah.
So they're awesome.
And I think they, like, in knowing a few of them too, like fairly well, I guess, they kind of have the same mentality that we have, where they don't really consider themselves to be, you know, specifically doom guys. Like, they're, you know, right. I mean, Ben had that new band, I think it's called a Glacial Tomb or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a black metal band. You know, Zach's done a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, yeah, man, I think they're kind of that kind of idea where you're trying to experiment with different genres of music. It just makes you a better player. It you know, kind of helps you develop your sound as a musician in general. And that's kind of what you want, you know, at least if you're into playing music for the sake of playing music, I guess.
Yeah. It never hurts being, you know, being better rounded more, you know. So
yeah
definitely.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of equate it to, like, do you remember that one period, I forget like the span of years, but it was when like all the Norwegian black metal dudes were like, hey, let's do prog bands,
right?
Yeah, you know, like oh man, I'm trying to think of like beyond what like bands like Dode Isengard became, or I'm trying to think of this. Remember Spiral Architect?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'd hear bands like Spiral Architect, where it's just these guys who are just used to playing blast beats for like 45 minutes on end, and then they come up with like a really compelling, weird prog metal record.
Yeah.
Like the latter half of the 90s, and they got real fucking weird.
Yeah, they started getting real weird with it, you know, and like.
Vedmund Zende.
Good stuff. Vedmund Zende was the guy from R&R, right? Yeah, so I think it's like really interesting to see how that kind of thing can come together. So I kind of consider this in the same vein. It's just like different for us. So
yeah, definitely. You mentioned the Mayhem cover. Do you guys, I mean, I loved it. We started doing and sort of like a daily news series over at Nine Circles. And I think, you know, we end each post with a little like audio video embed of some sort. And that was, as it happened, like that dropped the first day we started the series. So I was like, oh shit, I have to include this. do you guys foresee like any, do anything else like that coming up? Any other like fun sort of doomy covers of stuff? Or was that just kind of like a one-time, like, because I know it was for the Decibel series, so is that just like a one-time thing?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do something like that again. You know, we'll see if time allows us. The reason we did a cover is because we're not a, you know, we're kind of a slow-moving band. We don't have like a ton of extra material laying around, so we just thought it would be a cool idea. I mean, I'd love to do something like that again at some point. I don't, it's, you know, it's up in the air. I'm not sure if we will or won't.
And also we didn't want to give Albert just like some B-side song that we, you know, recorded but didn't do anything with or something like that. So and you know, I love the idea of it. I think we got asked about, like, we did a quick interview for them about it, and I think I said something to the effect of like, I like it when bands do covers and purposely try to make it kind of like their own thing, as opposed to just trying to sound exactly like, you know, what they're covering. So that was kind of a challenge, and it was fun. So
I think we were all kind of a little disappointed that it actually didn't receive much backlash. We were kind of expecting people to get super fucking like butthurt about it, but no, everyone seemed to dig it. And I mean, obviously, we're happy that people dig it, but we were I'm slightly disappointed that it didn't push a little more buttons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always like it. Like, it's funny because I'm not the biggest fan of these guys in general, but I love when they like bust out new covers. You guys ever listen to Thou?
Yeah.
Like when they do, you know, I think they did like Terrible Lie by Nine Inch Nails and stuff like that, and they did they've done like some Nirvana stuff in the past, and it's always like fun to hear something like out of left field like that, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think that was kind of also. I mean, like. The Thomas from Abigor was the guy who kind of spearheaded this idea, and you know, we talked to him every once in a while, and we were talking about like, you know, interesting cover ideas and stuff like that, and he, you know, guided us towards doing that specific song. and you know, when we told him that we're gonna do this, he got so excited.
Yeah, no, I mean, when he mentioned it, I wasn't sure how serious he actually was, but knowing Thomas in hindsight, he was dead fucking serious. So, but no, I'm glad we did it. Obviously, if it was going to be awful, we were going to jump ship on it. But I think, I mean, we're all really happy with it. I think most of us agree that it's like our favorite thing we've done yet.
Yeah, honestly, like the recording process was really easy going because it's just one song.
Right.
And I thought it sounded really good, and just arranging it, recording it was a blast, and also because we got to work with him, and he did some of the vocal parts, like all the lyrics in Latin, mm-hmm. that's him. So we were like eagerly awaiting to see what that would sound like. So we, you know, got pretty giddy about it when it finally landed in our inbox.
Yeah, nice. Working with him, pretty nuts. He's from another planet. He's a talented, talented guy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Another thing you touched on earlier, you obviously working on the new album. Is it you know, can you know, how far along are you guys? Is it something you can talk about, or do we have to keep it under wraps for the time being? Or
I would say we're nearing halfway done with it, as far as like songs that we are actually playing together.
Okay,
there's tons of other demos that we just haven't gotten around to either play together yet. To learn or like piece together for new songs. So, I mean, we're getting there.
Nice. It's
getting pretty close.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is like, it's not a negative, but like, you know, we rarely play live. So when we do, we take it very seriously, especially when we get really big opportunities like the Decibel Fest or Hellfest. So, we really try to dedicate a good percentage of our actual practice time as a band to really make sure our live set is as tight as possible. So sometimes that kind of detracts from songwriting time, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, following Hellfest, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We have a couple things coming up, you know, a few months from now, but now we get to sit down and really work on this stuff.
Yeah, I think we're all ready to get this fucking thing wrapped up. I'm getting antsy. I feel like we've been sitting on out of the garden and milked it for all it's worth for, how long have we been doing them, 2 years?
Yeah,
now?
And I mean,
it's taking too long.
And we are playing two new songs live here and there. So, I mean, like, we're definitely itching to switch up the set list a little bit and get that stuff done. So, and the interesting part, at least for me, is like, when we did the first record, the reception for it and all that stuff for me was completely unexpected. Not to say that I thought it was bad, but like it, like how people would take that record out of the garden, it was just a big question mark for me, because at the end of the day, it is kind of like a trad, you know, doom record. And I had a question in my mind, like, do people really want that right now? Is that even relevant? How, you know, is it just going to be like a small group of people who already really like the genre who are going to take to this, or, you know, so when it comes to this one, since we're, you know, trying to evolve the songwriting a little bit more and trying to change things up a bit, to me, it's another big question mark, because I don't know if there's hype. I don't know if people are going to be into the new kind of ideas that we're throwing in there. But, you know.
Yeah, we're just going to do us.
Yeah, that's all you can do, right?
Cross your fingers, you know, just.
Yeah. So, I mean, Enrique, I know you mentioned you're going over. Now, you're going over to Europe, like, tomorrow or Monday, right? Like
Monday.
But you've got a little while until Hellfest, right? That's not till like later this month, right?
Yeah, we play what, the 17th?
Yeah.
So we usually do weekly practices. So really, I'm just missing one practice. So I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
We're playing mostly old stuff, which
we hope it's what people want to hear. So, you know, songs that they know and all that stuff. So,
do you guys have any other gigs going on over there, or is that the main?
It's a thing.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I'm kind of winding down, you know, and I started briefly talking about this earlier before you got here, Enrique, but as I mentioned, I'm sort of a new Pennsylvanian, just moved back after a whole bunch of time up in New York, and I'm just like kind of learning the ropes with like Philly metal. So as like residents and veterans of the scene, I mean, are there any spots you'd recommend checking out or any other bands in particular? I mean, I know the obvious ones like you guys, Horrendous and Vector and stuff like that, but, who should I be, you know, on the lookout for down here?
We definitely have to mention our Hive Lords. I mean, those guys have been around for a while, and that's a band that's really like shaken up their sound in the last couple of years.
Okay.
They play, I want to say, frequently enough to where you could definitely catch them soon, I'm sure. In fact, they were supposed to open the Take show, I believe, and unfortunately that whole tour got canceled. But,
yeah, that's a shame.
That band's had some traction for a good long while now, and for good reason too. What else would you mention?
Summerlands.
Summerlands.
Of course.
Yeah. I believe they have a show coming up in July. I think it's like the 7th, possibly. Okay. So,
With Eternal Champion.
Yeah.
That's going to be a Johnny Brenda's. That's going to be an awesome show.
Nice. I'll have to check that one out. Any venues in particular? I mean, I know Johnny Brenda's. I know we talked about the Fillmore and stuff. Like good metal spots. Because I'm used to like defaulting to St. Vitus, and now I can't do that anymore.
there's Kung Fu Necktie. That venue is a little bit smaller. You know, it's got more of like a bar feel and all that stuff, and it's good, man. They bring all sorts of bands. I mean, you have like I think Dragged in the Sunlight played there. But then you also have like, you know, more punk and grindcore kind of lineups there with smaller, you know, quote unquote, smaller bands. Suffocation is going to do a show there with Revocation. So,
oh shit. Okay.
And that venue's, just so you get an idea, it's like maybe 2/3 the size of St. Vitus. So it's even smaller.
Oh, wow. Smaller. Okay.
Yeah. Make sure when you go and you're going to a show, that's like, it's going to be a pretty big show. Try to get there and get into the room if you want to see.
It gets
packed fucking quick.
Yeah.
There's also Underground Arts. That's also a great sounding live venue. Yeah. I've seen Carcass there. I've seen Napalm Death there, but I've also seen Souls to Fear and Junius there. You know, so
oh, cool. Okay.
They try to bring all sorts of things in there. Chelsea Wolf. You know. Nice. I'm trying to think of other really good venues. Mill Creek in West Philly. That's definitely more of like the underground band kind of thing. So.
I love the Mill Creek. I mean, our practice space is like a couple blocks away from it. I mean, it's like, it sounds like shit, and it's like, but there's a charm to it. It's just like this dive bar. The beers are cheap. The bartenders are old and funny.
Nice.
The stage riser is what, like 3 inches off the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, it's funny because like one of the best shows I've ever seen there was like Phobia playing with, I want to say Coffins. And you were literally like 2 inches away from the band.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really fun environment for that kind of thing.
That's awesome. Yes.
I saw Death Hammer there last year and it fucking ruled.
Yeah.
It was a good venue for them.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There's actually no shortage of venues now. Philadelphia is like in the last couple of years too. I mean, I've lived here for about 10 years now. Mm. And in those 10 years, I've seen how much live music has evolved here. You know, Union Transfer is another great one. That's one of the bigger venues here. That's an amazing venue. I mean, they'll bring in, you know, the bigger bands, but
I think like Baroness and Paul Bearer and stuff just played there last night. I was seeing all kinds of Instagrams from that. So
It's cool because like before, a lot of bands still pass through Philly, a lot of tours, but I felt like, I think for like, there's like bigger package tours and there was like more, there's smaller and then there's medium. And I think like venues like the Troc and like the TLA were just too big. They were just like, just too big for some of like, even the bigger underground bands
That's why, like, having a venue like Underground Arts has been great, because, like, all these tours finally have a home where they can go, where they're not just, you know, the track is so big that it's, like, it's impossible for Pepsi's bands to fill it up.
Yeah. Well, I actually did. I made it down to Underground Arts back in the spring, and I caught Amorphis there. And that, I think, is the perfect example. Like, Amorphis would not be able to fill up the TLA or the Trocker, you know, like one of the bigger spots, but you know, it was perfect for them because it was, you know, it's just a nice size. They filled it out nicely, you know.
Yeah, that venue's awesome. I love playing that venue too. So it's been a really cool addition.
Yes, we played with St. Vitus there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we played with Vitus and Yav there, Black Cobra.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's cool that there's all these different tiers of venues. Cause then if you're a band traveling through Philly, like, you can play anywhere. I mean, like, I remember, Uwada played MDF, I believe. That's how you pronounce your name? Uwada?
Yeah. Uwada. I don't know. Yeah. But I know who you're talking about at any rate.
Yeah. They got like a last minute show at Kung Fu Necktie, like, the day after. So Uwada played to a room of, like, what was probably like the 10 people who weren't at MDF.
Yeah.
But you know, they got to do that. So, I mean, and, you know, whenever, and actually the one thing I have noticed is, like, every year when MDF rolls around, you have all these bands that are playing MDF that end up playing Philly before or after the fest in all these different venues.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see all the different kind of environments kick off during the same weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Well, awesome. I mean, that pretty much wraps me up. I mean, I guess the last thing I would ask you guys, what have you been listening to this year? Any major, like, highlights of 2017, from the metal world, in your opinions?
Honestly, I've been horrible about keeping up with what's now right now. Current. I haven't, like, I mean, I'm obviously listening to a lot of stuff. It's just all either, it just hasn't come out this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Really old, or the last few years, I just haven't kept up.
I'll answer Steve's question for him. I know that Steve and I have both been listening to a split that is probably one of the better black metal releases I've heard in a long time.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. It's Abigor, Mortis, Nightbringer, and
Dark and Shade.
Thy Dark and Shade. Yeah, that four-way split is absolutely phenomenal.
That's quite frankly, like, the only thing I've, like, and it's not on purpose. I guess I just get overwhelmed and scatterbrained by, like, everything. It's like so overloaded with things coming out all the time. I just can't keep up with it. I need to, like, just sit down and get to it at my own pace.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an answer that doesn't make me look like a seasoned and missed shill, but you know, it's always kind of hard to negotiate that. But I will say, like, I really do like that new Nightbringer record that came out. I also like, I'm trying to think of, the Chemist record was great.
Yeah.
Man, that new Lantern record, not getting as much love as I would hope it would, because, man, like, that record's great. I just haven't seen a lot of people talk about it.
I still need to hear that. The first one was awesome.
That's another one that, like, I think it's sort of the problem is, like, sort of what Steve just talked about. Like, I listened to it and I definitely liked it, but there's just been so much other shit coming out that I just, like, I haven't had time to, like, go back and revisit it, but I do remember listening to it and really enjoying the hell out of it. So
was it World Champion this year?
No.
Was Summerlands? I think one or the other.
I think
they were both last year.
Both last year. Okay, yeah. So they must have been towards the end of the year, right? Because I still have that on pretty heavy rotation. Devouring Star just put out an EP on Dark Descent. That was really good too. Now I sound like a Dark Descent shill. I don't know, man. there's a lot of really interesting stuff coming out right now, actually. I know, I'm trying to think of what else I heard. It's super, super compelling. I don't know. I might have to just take a look at my Spotify for a minute and see what the other titles are. Yeah. But, I don't know. I right now it's kind of an interesting time because I feel like there's no shortage of good music, honestly. And I don't know that the feeling was the same just a few years back, you know?
Yeah. It's a great problem to have at the end of the day. Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, people are going to come across stuff when it suits them, when you know, when they can, like, fully take it in. So, you know,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, dudes, awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate the flexibility with my last minute switcheroo. Thanks to my boss. But yeah, dudes. So awesome. Have a great time in Europe, and have a, you know, awesome set over at Hellfest, and you know, look forward to what's next from you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
Thanks. See you
later, bud.
Bye. To Stephen Enrique from Crypt Sermon. Guys, it was a pleasure having you on. Really appreciate the time this past weekend, and all best with the new album and with the gig at Hellfest coming up, and just in general, really, really appreciate the time. Folks at home, if you haven't familiarized yourselves with Crypt Sermon by now, get out from under the rock you're living under and check out the album. Again, it's Out of the Garden. It's out now on, or it's out a couple years ago it came out. So really get out from under the fucking rock. Dark Descent Records, it's on Bandcamp, it's on Spotify, it's on wherever you get your music. Do yourselves a favor, if you like some epic doom, check it out and just marvel. It's good stuff all around. For us, you know the deal, www.ninecircles.co, ninecirclesblog@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are Nine Circles Blog on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @_ninecircles, and of course the podcast or the audio thing. We're not doing that anymore. It's just you got to get them here. We don't have a feed up or anything, but keep on the site. We're going to be posting these as we do them. And unfortunately, we're not doing iTunes, not doing the Google Play or anymore. But that might change in the future. We have to take a look at it. I know it's something we certainly miss doing on a regular basis. So we'll see. For now, you got to get it on the website. Got to get it on the website. So www.ninecircles.co. That'll do it for now. Once again, I'm your host, Dan Kaplan. I thank you guys for taking the time today, and hope you have a great week, and we will see you soon.